This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
I have decided to submit to Congress, when it returns, the name of the person I believe to be best qualified to serve as an Associate Justice of the Supreme Court. United States Judge John Paul Stevens of the Seventh Circuit of the Court of Appeals in Chicago, Illinois.
Justice Stevens there was lauded by President Gerald Ford. He served on the court for 35 years at the age of 99. He has died after a brief illness in Florida. He released earlier this year a memoir of his years on the bench. It's pretty interesting. Oldest member of the court before he retired in 2010. And he's kind of difficult as far as where he was going to go, almost when he was first nominated. So pretty interesting. Kate Delaney, here we are talking about Justice Paul Stevens again, dead at the age of 99 years old. Grew up in Chicago. He was part of that, a product, I guess, of the Roaring Twenties. He served in the... He served with the family at the Stevens Hotel, and, of course, there were some bad dealings there. They went bankrupt, et cetera, and the family was accused, the father, et cetera, of some brutal things of embezzling money, and you never heard much about that. But he went on to serve in World War II as an intelligence officer. He got a Bronze Star. When he got out of the war, he went to law school at Northwestern, and then the rest is history. Involved in some pretty famous decisions during his years on the court, including the one from Paula to Monica to Bush v. Gore. In 97, he was the one who wrote this, that changed a sort of a, not sort of, a dramatic chain of events, political events, concluding that the president had no executive immunity from civil claims when he was in office. So that allowed a lawsuit by Paula Jones against President Clinton to move forward. She accused him of improper sexual advances while he was Arkansas governor, and that led to disclosures that Clinton was having an affair while president with Monica Lewinsky, a White House intern at the time. And then, of course, there were so many others that he was involved with. He was kind of an enigma professionally and even personally. His friends say that as you try to have a portrait emerge of him. It seemed like at times when he was on the court, he was really searching for that fairness. But he came down heavy on a couple of different sides. You heard one of them there. He also, you know, you think of the social issues before the court. He definitely had an imprint, including the 1985 opinion striking down Alabama's moment of silence for prayer or meditation in public schools. And there were others along the way, too, some of them having to do with free speech, and you think of the comedian George Carlin and the seven deadly words that are no-nos, and where he ruled on that with the court and where the court went with that. So once again, former Supreme Court Justice John Paul Stevens dead at the age of 99. While that was happening, it was all about tweets, the president and the tweets. Were they racist? Were they not racist? Is this being misconstrued? Is this ridiculous? What is this? Kind of chaotic in the House, although the House came up with a resolution ultimately that does not fall in favor of the president, as he's pretty much painted in a resolution as a racist. There were some defenders, including Senator Ted Cruz, and then the president himself said, look, I don't have a racist bone in my body. Ted Cruz said that the squad or the congresswomen in question, four of them, were radical and extreme, although he did say that the president should not have sent the tweets, should not have sent the tweets, but did say that they have a troubled history of anti-Semitic comments and the House needs to take action as far as that was concerned. And the Senate did. The Senate took up an anti-Semitic resolution, calling it the Green New Deal. Well, the four congresswomen are part of the Green New Deal, which would cost $93 trillion to the economy. And what Ted Cruz is, that this goes into their history with anti-Semitism. That's what he's saying, engaging over and over again in making multiple anti-Semitic insults. So it's kind of tit for tat. You strike, and then we strike back in the Senate. But the resolution did pass, so that does go down in history, and it's rather strange if you think about it when you connect the Twitter world to what was said to now this resolution. Mitch McConnell, the Senate Republican leader, said that public debate should be on ideas, not personal attacks. That was his first public remarks on the controversy that was touched on by the president's attacks on the congresswomen that were painted as racist. And speaking to reporters on Capitol Hill, McConnell said the political rhetoric has become overheated. That's an interesting word. In recent days, he's being careful. He's choosing his words as wisely as he could. Let's put it that way, right? That's it. So there is a Twitter furor, and now there's a resolution. In fact, support for the president increased slightly among Republicans after he lashed out on Twitter over the weekend. A national survey that was conducted on Monday and Tuesday after the president told the lawmakers they should go back and help fix the totally broken and crime-infested places from which they came showed his net approval among members of his Republican Party rose by 5 percentage points, 72% compared with the similar poll that ran last week. Because, of course, the president is seeking a re-election and support of the people who helped him get there in the first place. The overall approval remained unchanged over the past week. According to the poll, 41% of the U.S. public say they approve of his performance in office, 55 disapprove. But it is the debate over Twitter, the congresswoman, the perception of the president, and it's like these earthquakes, although the earthquakes are no laughing matter, it's split right down the center. Speaking of earthquakes, oh, there were more. We're talking about them next on this next version of We Can Count.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what Dr. Joe has to say.
As you know, I'm one of the doctors that Don talks about, because 4 years ago, I was diagnosed with high blood pressure. Runs in my family on my mother's side. You know, I come from an athletic background. You know, I did a lot of running throughout my life, and I did triathlons. When I was trying to run some years back, I was getting short of breath, which is a little bit of a congestive heart failure. The Extendivite, that shortness of breath and that coughing started going away, and I was able to run longer and longer distances. And it took a while, though. So now I'm able to do, you know, 3.5 miles with my dog. And no problem. I don't stop. Not anymore. So I'm just saying you need to stick with the program. And you've got to change some lifestyle things, too.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-301-5435. That's 800-301-5435. 800-301-5435.
The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, the Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com, 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
Boy, can anyone tell me what's happening in California? It might never rain in California, but it certainly shakes in California. Kate Delaney, this version of We Can Count starts in that direction. A magnitude 4.3 earthquake shook the eastern San Francisco Bay Area at about 1 o'clock in the afternoon on Tuesday. 4 minutes later, a magnitude 4.5 smashed near Ridgecrest, which earlier this month had two massive trembling moments, temblers as they call them, temblers, earthquakes. And one was pretty powerful, 7.1, strongest to hit California in 20 years. And then 10 minutes after the first quake hit in the San Francisco Bay Area, there was another one. This time it was 3.2, but it was centered near Black Hawk, a community east of Oakland. So is the big one coming? That's the question Californians are asking themselves, because they haven't seen this happen in a very long time, especially this many different ones in a row. The Ridgecrest quake occurred near the Little Lake Fault Zone, according to the USGS maps. Geophysicists recorded the Black Hawk quakes near the Greenville Fault Zone, is what they call it. Neither are connected, and both have a slip rate of 1 to 5 millimeters a year. San Andreas, I know, is the one that you really, really worry about. In California, that people that grew up in California know, this is what you live with, that there is, of course, a possibility of quakes, but it has to be scary, especially the ones that saw things flying in their house and grocery shelves, things falling off of shelves. The 7.1 was pretty bad, and there were clearly some houses that had fireplaces tumble and steps fall apart, that kind of thing, because of the earthquake. There was even a couple of fires. Ridgecrest, the worst. They got it the worst of really of all of them. But my, oh my, huh? The Emmys. Yes, they were announced, and there were a couple of snubs. No George Clooney, no Julia Roberts, Emma Stone, say it ain't so, shut out of the Emmys. Well, that's because Game of Thrones had a fiesta, a resurrection, if you will. They had so many nominations, it was crazy. Just a ton. So Netflix, 117 nominations, up from 112 last year. Second behind HBO. And HBO had so many nominations because of a couple of different shows, but definitely Game of Thrones. Game of Thrones, like best drama. And, you know, everything and anything you can imagine that they could win, they were nominated for. But to me, it could be a pretty niche audience. There were some broader dramas that were nominated. But Kit Harington, Best Actor, Game of Thrones, and it's going to be interesting, I suppose, if you watch the Emmys, Best Actress for a Drama, Emilia Clarke, Game of Thrones. And the list goes on and on and on and on. And, of course, there were other network shows, there were other HBO shows and other shows on other cable networks that were nominated. But there were people that felt they were snubbed, felt like they were overshadowed. And it's interesting because they're all movie people. I had a friend that used to work in Hollywood and said, you know, when you are in television, it's like one row beneath the worst that you could possibly be. And now TV people or movie people are part of TV and pulling all that up, getting all that extra coin to do TV. So it's not that it's not the stigmatism quite that it used to be. I'm surprised at Julia Roberts. She had a great show on Amazon called Homecoming, where she played a social worker at an experimental facility for returning soldiers. It was so, so well done, and she was brilliant in it, but it didn't happen, and it didn't happen for George Clooney, who was equally as brilliant in Hulu's Catch-22, or Emma Stone, who was part of the Netflix drama Maniac, but that's how it goes. And then there, of course, were a myriad of other actors that were nominated for their shows, both drama and comedy. So the key is Game of Thrones cornering the market when it comes to Emmys. I mean, really just cornering the market. All right, let's move to something else. And the something else is, it's interesting. I looked at this keto pizza. And I thought, of all the things you can do to a pizza, and there's a lot. Everybody has a different taste for different kinds of pizza. Deep dish, what you have on top of it, thin crust, all of that. So Blaze Pizza announced it was rolling out a keto crust with 6 grams of net carbs. Wow. Substituting flour with high-fat, low-carb ingredients like flaxseed, cheese, and eggs. It is actually the first national chain to unveil a keto crust. If it tastes good, it tastes good. I mean, there's the bottom line on that. You call the crust whatever you want to call it. But the key is, if you're on a low-carb diet and it tastes pretty good, that may be a good option. because there certainly are pizzas like that that you can get in the store right now. Cauliflower crust is one way, like a vegetarian pizza, and that, if it's done right, can actually taste pretty good. I've had a few of those, let's put it that way. Amazon Prime Day for 2019. Oh my goodness, right? People going crazy for Amazon because of the free shipping. So for the fifth July in a row, the country's biggest e-commerce marketplace, which accounts for about 50% of all U.S. retail sales, offers aggressive discounts on a lot of products in a whole bunch of different categories. To be an Amazon Prime member, though, you've got to pony up the cash. $119 a year, so along with free two-day shipping on millions of items, members get access to streamed movies and TV, shows on Amazon Prime Video, Prime Music. You get the drift here. It's membership. You pay a fee. Then you're in. And then you get these discounts. I mean, the key thing is the shipping, because if you're shipping a lot, that would add up so quickly that the money would be worth it. You know what to do. I don't have to tell you how to juggle and decide what you're going to do. If it makes sense, it makes sense. And they have had a lot of people take them up on it. And because of the offerings, I think it does help them. Let's put it that way. All right, let's move to this one. How about this? There are five U.S. airlines, with everything that's going on with the airlines, that I just happened to see this story earlier in the day, that offer amenity kits to help you relax. What is an amenity kit? Well, it can be pretty much anything. United offers these kits for transcontinental travel. So you get a lip balm. Ooh. You get shea butter, face cream, hand cream, facial cleansing cloth, peppermint extract, eye mask, slippers, dental kit, earplugs for the long hauls. Wow. On American, this is pretty good. Each kit has eye mask, earplugs, toothbrush, toothpaste, skin care products from a skin care brand called Allies of Skin, and they're on long hauls. So U.S. to Europe, Asia, Australia, New Zealand, and deep into South America, some transcontinental routes as well. But how much are those tickets? That's what I want to know. How much are the tickets? They're not the only ones. Hawaiian, JetBlue, they do the same. American, I mentioned, and United. So you could fly comfortable and put on your lip balm and a face mask as well. Wow! See you on the other side.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
After a struggle, House lawmakers approved a resolution to formally denounce President Trump's recent tweet against four freshman congresswomen of color. Four Republicans joined Democrats to rebuke the president. Democrat Sheila Jackson Lee.
This resolution, these four women, are no less deserving of dignity than anyone else.
Speaker Nancy Pelosi urged colleagues on both sides of the aisle to support the resolution.
These comments are racist.
Republicans accused her of breaking House rules. Pelosi's second-in-command, Steny Hoyer, backed her up.
Characterizing an action as racist is not in order.
A GOP bid to strike Pelosi's words from the record failed, but it took a full vote along party lines to restore her right to speak. This is USA Radio News.
Are you tired of high cable TV rates? Sign up for Dish today and get a $500 bonus offer while supplies last. Plus, lock in your price for 2 years guaranteed. Call All-American Dish, your Dish authorized retailer now.
800-610-5739. 800-610-5739. That's 800-610-5739.
Offers require credit qualification, 24-month commitment, early termination fee, Eddie Auto Pay. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
In 50 feet, turn left. Why are you driving so slowly?
After a few drinks, I'm taking it slow.
Well, you're not fooling the cop behind you.
What?
Get ready to pay in 0.1 miles.
Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Hi, my name is Lily. My mom and dad used to fight about money all the time. Then one day, I heard them talking about this guy, some uncle I never knew, called Uncle Sam. Well, they say this Uncle Sam guy wanted them to pay him like a gazillion dollars, and they didn't have a gazillion dollars. So they called this company they heard on the radio called The Tax Doctor. And The Tax Doctor worked with Uncle Sam's people. I think they're called the IRS. And they are able to work it out so my mom and dad didn't have to pay Uncle Sam very much money at all. So now mom and dad are happy, and I'm happy too. Thanks, Tax Doctor.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, call now and pay less.
800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. That's 800-985-1610.
At a really great event in September, and many of you are listening to me in Tampa on 1380 AM, so you can get your tickets for this. But Working Women, what a terrific organization, Working Women of Tampa Bay, and they're celebrating 10 years, and I'm so honored to be a keynote speaker for them and to do a book signing as well, and you can get all that information by going to workingwomenoftampabay.com. But Jessica Ravelli is the founder of this organization, and she and I have gotten to know each other, and our conversations are so fascinating. So when I do this thing called It's Your Business, I thought of her immediately. So Jessica, thanks for taking some time, because I know you're swamped, to spend some of it with us.
Hey, Kate. No, thank you so much for having me on the show.
So you and I had something in common. Both of us had that television background. Tell everybody how you started out and how you made the leap to starting your own organization to create something that really helps women entrepreneurs, especially with networking and getting funding.
Yeah. So it was about 10 years that I spent, you know, in my television career. Started off in Greensboro, North Carolina, and ended up in Tampa, where I am now. And I loved my television career, but I just noticed that I was looking for something a little bit more fulfilling, and I loved journalism, but I really, you know, I knew that I was moving on to another chapter of my life, and I was also looking for networking opportunities just to kind of see what else was out there besides TV and journalism. And at the time, this was about, you know, 2007, 2008, there wasn't a lot going on for women entrepreneurs. There was, you know, the Chamberlains and Leeds Group, and there was a lot of networking going on in our area, but not a lot targeting women or exclusively for women. And so I just got the idea that I could do it. And so we officially started our organization in June of 2001. This is our 10th year anniversary. But the idea was really born out of necessity. I was looking for something myself. And when I couldn't find it, I chose to start one. You know, now 10 years later, I'm like, wow, it was such a huge leap. You know, I can't believe I actually did it. But now 10 years later, man, boy, does time go by fast.
So taking that leap, and like you said, you couldn't find anything. You decided, well, I'm going to do it. Boy, if you take us back to the early days, what was that like? Did you just have to keep your head down, network, and focus on what you were doing to create this space?
Yeah, we were really lucky that social media was just kind of becoming to the masses, right? So this was right when Facebook was turning from something that college students used to the public. Twitter was just kind of getting started. LinkedIn. And so we used the power of social media to be able to get the word out about the events that we were creating. And that really was a huge bonus for us because it was basically free marketing. So I think we really benefited from, you know, that social media boom back in 08, 09, 2010. And then combined with, because there wasn't a lot going on for women, when women would see this through social media or maybe hear about it from their friends, they really wanted to try it out because there wasn't anything like it in Tampa at the time. So I think we were really blessed with kind of the right time. It was the right time. It was right after, you know, it was during that time where a lot of people were shifting careers. You know, we had gone through that economic downturn, so a lot of folks were adding second jobs or side hustles, and I think that they were looking for ways to get out there and connect with one another. So it really was the perfect storm. We created it in an environment where it was badly needed, and I think that that was why it was so successful right from the start.
Yeah. And we're speaking with Jessica Ravelli. She is the founder of Working Women of Tampa Bay. I mentioned that I'm going to be speaking there in September. September 5th and 6th is the big gathering that, you know, that's this 10-year celebration. There's so much to feed your head with. You know, I said that this is all about, it's your business, and this is your business. What are you most proud of in the 10 years? I mean, that's a big high-water mark.
I just think all the connections that we've made, somewhere between 6,000 and 7,000 women that have attended our events over the last 10 years. We're very active. I think that that's what separates us from, you know, other organizations in the market, is that we sometimes do up to 20 events per month because we spread them all throughout the Tampa Bay region, which is a very large geographic area. And so we literally have hundreds of women attending our events on a monthly basis. And so it's so great to reflect 10 years later on the friendships, the connections, the businesses that have grown. You know, that's something that really, you know, makes me feel fulfilled and makes me feel like this is really, truly a success. I think the other thing is, you know, 3.5 years ago, we launched our own nonprofit specifically to help women get their businesses up and running by giving them seed money. A lot of women, when they first start their businesses, you know, they're just trying to get their doors open. And so they may need a logo. They may need marketing materials, whatever it is. We can jump in and help supplement some of those startup costs. So we've given about $25,000 away to about 35 women startups in the last 3.5 years. And I think I'm the most proud of that particular statistic because I know that we're making a difference.
So as you say, you know, you talk about 6,000 to 7,000 women attending events and all these events that you've had. So you're around women entrepreneurs. You are one. You started something. You took that leap. What do you think, Jessica, and for all the people listening to us all over the country, what do you think is the most difficult thing, in your opinion, the biggest challenge, I guess I'll say, for women when they take a leap and they go out there and they start to learn to sell themselves and they have something they want to offer? What's the hardest part about being a female entrepreneur?
Oh, gosh. I think it's actually two things come to mind and are both equally important. So I think confidence. I think that if there's a little bit of a gap there sometimes between men and women, is, you know, women are constantly you know, trying to improve. And a lot of them are perfectionists, right? And so they're lacking a little bit of confidence about just how valuable their product or service is. And so there's a little bit of a, you know, they need to kind of get over that hump and realize that, you know, whatever it is that they're selling, whether it's, like I said, a product or a service, it has value out in the marketplace. So you see a lot of women, you know, they're not charging enough. They're not going out after recognition enough, which is actually a theme of our conference this year. And then the second piece is trying to do everything. So, you know, a lot of times when you start a small business, you're the CEO, the CMO, the CEO, the CFO, chief bottle washer, whatever it is. And so I find that women really need to learn how to divide and conquer and delegate, get rid of the things that they're not great at, because we may, if you're a baker, you may be really great at baking the, you know, the best pies in Tampa Bay, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you know how to do your books or should be doing their books. And so I really believe that if you can learn very quickly what your skills are and what your strengths are, and then hire or, you know, delegate out through independent contractors the pieces of your business that you're not great at, I find that you'll have greater success even sooner because you've gone ahead and gone that direction quicker than most. Sometimes it'll take years for small business owners to realize that they can't be everything in their business.
Ah, so well said. And there's so many ways you can, you know, hire VAs. I think people also think, and you know this, that you have to have so much money to hire some big giant staff, but that's not true.
No, and there's so many great resources like Fiverr, which is, you know, you can get logos and marketing materials made. There's, like you said, VA services that you can hire, do like 10 hours a week with somebody who might not even be in the same city, state, or even country, but you're getting those services at a deeply discounted rate. So, yeah, I think it's really important for entrepreneurs and small business owners to do research on all those many resources that are out there, especially, you know, using the internet versus, you know, thinking that they can't hire a 20-hour part-timer to come into their business, which, you know, can be really expensive.
Yeah, absolutely. So we have like a minute and a half left. Tell us about the Working Women Conference and how people can find out more, because there's people in and around Tampa that are certainly listening to the show. I'm going to be there. I'm excited.
Yeah, and really we encourage women throughout the state of Florida to come. We love to see folks come up to Miami and Fort Myers. But it's a two-day conference this year, and I'm going to be we'll have 40-plus speakers take the stage over those 2 days. We have a special dinner on Thursday night, September 5th, to celebrate our anniversary. We're going to be honoring 10 different women that have had an impact on the success of our organization at that. And we're really excited about hearing you speak, you know, your book and your topic, your theme that you have going on fits perfectly with our theme, which is your season to shine. And what we really want to encourage our attendees to do as they're leaving those 2 days of getting rallied up is that they're going to walk away and they're going to not be afraid to toot their own horn and look for recognition, look for opportunities of exposure, because I feel, and I, in my speaker committee, really feel like that that's where women really need to focus some energy on is, you know, now that you've built this wonderful business, let's get some exposure. Let's get you out in the limelight and don't be afraid to stand in the spotlight and enjoy your successes. And that's what the theme is, and that's why we feel like your voice and you are going to be the perfect keynote speaker on September 5th and 6th here in Tampa.
Yeah, I can't wait. Jessica, thank you so much for joining us on the show. Appreciate it.
Thanks so much, Kate. See you soon.
Hi, this is Paul, otherwise known to the listeners as Mr. Kate Delaney. The missus has come up with an amazing solution to what plagues most of us, that nagging feeling you're meant to do something more. After more than a decade of her best interviews with world-class mentors and her own groundbreaking life experiences, Deal Your Own Destiny is finally here, presented to you by Forbes Books. Reading Kate's book is like sitting down with a trusted friend who has a lifetime of wisdom to share. Some of what you'll discover in this book includes learning how to play to your strengths, finding people who lift you up, and how to make the right moves to become extraordinary. No matter where you are on your journey, this book will give you inspiration and the tools you need to get to where you want to be, whatever that means to you. No one gets to decide the hand they're dealt in life, so become the dealer. Get Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon.com or at booksellers near you.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay heating wraps and pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part, Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
Fellow Patriots, my name is Todd Savage, founder of BlackRifleRealEstate.com. Like you, I was a prisoner of the alt-left sanctuary state until one day I chose to lead my family to freedom. Today we live on a sustainable 20-acre homestead where we shoot, hunt, garden, and homeschool our children without the tyranny of the nanny state looking over us. If you're ready to flee the city to the freedom of Idaho or Montana, our Black Rifle Real Estate team is here to help. Go to BlackRifleRealEstate.com. That's BlackRifleRealEstate.com.
What, I've had people ask me about this. What do you do in the morning when you get up, and how do you start your day? And I always say I journal and I read things that feed my head. That's why, you know, we bring you this author's corner, and I'm so excited to introduce you to Lynn Waters. She's written a book called Stillness of Spirit, and this is exactly that kind of feed your head book. So, Lynn, thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, I am so delighted to be here.
And you heard what I said, my description of the book, meaning there's things that you can take away from this and apply to your life. Was that the intent when you sat down and put this together?
I have been through many challenges in the last few years, and my way of dealing, my way of coping has always been to write and to paint. I'm also an artist. So what I did with this book is I put the two together, and in doing so, according to many people who have read it and enjoyed it, it has given them not only peace and comfort, but inspiration. And, you know, if I did nothing else in this world, I think that I can be very proud of this book. In fact, if you don't mind, Kate, could I read an excerpt from it to kind of give you the inspiration behind it?
Oh, absolutely. I was going to ask you to do that. So you've got the floor. Go ahead.
All right. There are several different reflective writings in Stillness of Spirit. And I want to preface my title with, as you were saying, when we start our day, when we have instances, when life happens,
if we can know that the divine plan has been set and we can just get still in our bodies, in our hearts, and just listen to what the universe has to tell us, our lives would be so much easier. But all of us tend to be, get from point A to point B, and I know better. And we get so busy in this life that it's hard to settle down and to be still. And so this excerpt is entitled A Songbird's Gift. A well-known book character said, "It is a sin to kill a mockingbird." The explanation given is the reason why was that all the mockingbird does is sing its heart out for us to enjoy, as do all songbirds. This symphony of joy can be heard as the earliest golden rays of the dawn rise on the horizon. These innocent creatures are thrilled to have another day to sing their gratitude to our earth. How do we begin our day? Maybe by taking a lesson from the songbird, we would be inspired to remember our blessings and gifts. Then we, too, can sing of our God-given love, peace, and joy.
Wow, that's great. That's beautiful, actually, thinking about it. And as you're talking about the mockingbird and then making that analogy, that leap there. And there was something else that I picked out, too, where for everybody listening, you know, it's hard to start over. It's hard to think, well, I've been doing this. And for all you guys out there, same thing for women. I can, you know, this is the path I'm on. But you have something called New Beginnings where you talk about they're all around us, babies and spring and New Year's resolutions, a chance to start over, to leave behind what no longer serves us. A new year provides motivation to begin again, to try a new path. However, old attachments can be so ingrained in our souls, and there's more. But that's so true, isn't it? It's like what you said. You kind of walk through the fire. It's those struggles that people hang on to, don't you think?
Yes, and it's because when you're going through this struggle, even though it's painful, it's comforting because it's what you know. But stepping out into the future, into a different way, a different path, that is scary stuff. And you've read the research on children who live in abusive homes. They would rather stay there than be taken to a place where they're safer and cared for because it's the unknown. And the unknown is always a scary thing. At least it can be. But if you can get to the point in your life where you realize you are cared for, you are loved, and that's how my book ends, the final page, you are loved. Just let it go, and everything will fall into place.
Oh, so true. Just let it go. When we started talking, and by the way, Stillness of Spirit, you can pick it up on Amazon. We're speaking with Lynn Waters here in our Author's Corner. I love your artwork, and one thing that really jumped out at me is because I've grown to appreciate birds. I have this beautiful tree that we have a couple of bird houses in. The people who own the place before us, they had an appreciation for that, and it sort of carried over to me, who never really paid attention to the birds. And now, like, you on page 10, you have a woodpecker, and I notice it's like, oh, I know that's a woodpecker because I have an awesome picture of that. So when you put the artwork together, was that tough to decide what you were going to put where?
I won't say it was tough, but I have always enjoyed nature and especially birds because they're just such innocent, innocent creatures and so beautiful. And the woodpecker was in my backyard. And I kept thinking, okay, you are just feeding, you are trying to get your food, your sustenance for the day by persevering. What a lesson that is to us. That we don't give up. We keep on, and the good things will come. And so that's how I selected all of the artwork for the different anecdotes, reflective writings that are included in this. And if you don't mind, could I read one more?
Sure, go for it.
A short one, and it's called The Joy of Life. And I have to preface this one as well. When I wrote this and when I did the painting for it, I was going through a time of challenge with my baby boy, who's now 33, and he was going through a lot of drug and alcohol addiction, a lot of rehab. And, of course, you know what that does to a family.
Yeah.
So when I wrote The Joy of Life, this painting was inspired by a wren who had built a nest on top of the garage door opener. Each day she would fly to the deck and sing her little heart out. Then her babies grew to the stage where she spent her days feeding them. She continued to sing, but not as often. She was busy finding delectable morsels for her young. I climbed to the top of a ladder to take a photo of the nest and began to paint. While I painted, I thought about the life lesson this small creature of God had provided. If through the highs and lows of raising children we continue to sing, we can truly know the joy of life.
Aww, I love that. I like the fact that, once again, we go back to the, you know, to the birds. We learn a lot, obviously, from nature, don't we? And that's also part of what you're talking about when you talk about the stillness of spirit. You can see that weaved in through what you've written, and that's part of it. Obviously, you have learned to appreciate nature, am I right?
Oh, yes. And, you know, it's really hard if you just take the time. You know, we've heard that old adage, stop and smell the roses. Well, honey, you need to do more than smell. You need to pick them up. You need to appreciate them. You need to look at the intricacies of how every item in nature is put together. And it's just amazing. You know, how can people say there's not a God when they look at some of the most beautiful, beautiful things that our universe has been blessed with?
Yeah. And is that what you want people to take away from reading your book, Lynn? What do you hope people take away from Stillness of Spirit?
I want people to understand that we, as human beings, all go through life, and there are ups and downs. But if you can stay focused on the good, then the good will come to you.
Ah, that's a perfect place to end this. Pick it up, Stillness of Spirit. What a pleasure talking to Lynn Waters. Her illustrations, her artwork are incredible, and I guarantee it was in my, it was something that I read today. As I said, that's what I do. People always ask me, that's how I feed my head. You know, it's just like other people do other things, and for me that really works. So thank you so much, Lynn.
Oh, thank you, Kate. And if people are interested, you had mentioned the book was available on Amazon.com, but it's also available on my website, which is just www.lynngriffeyart.com.
Perfect.
And I'd love for people to just visit that to see my other art as well.
Nice. Thanks, Lynn.
Hi, this is Paul, otherwise known to the listeners as Mr. Kate Delaney. The missus has come up with an amazing solution to what plagues most of us, that nagging feeling you're meant to do something more. After more than a decade of her best interviews with world-class mentors and her own groundbreaking life experiences, Deal Your Own Destiny is finally here, presented to you by Forbes Books. Reading Kate's book is like sitting down with a trusted friend who has a lifetime of wisdom to share. Some of what you'll discover in this book includes learning how to play to your strengths, finding people who lift you up, and how to make the right moves to become extraordinary. No matter where you are on your journey, this book will give you inspiration and the tools you need to get to where you want to be, whatever that means to you. No one gets to decide the hand they're dealt in life, so become the dealer. Get Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon.com or at booksellers near you.